Magandang araw, Podmates! What was it like to be a woman facing all male warriors in peace negotiations? Here's part 2 of my conversation with 2023 Ramon Magsaysay awardee, Miriam Coronel Ferrer.
Gusto ko nang balikan yung sinabi mo na pagbabae ka in whatever position, wherever you are, no? At talagang kikwestiyonin yung iyong strength. So it was a risk for President Aquino to appoint you to the peace panel in the first place, and then naging chief ka eventually, no? Nag-usapin ba yung gender?
Yeah, yes. But President Pinoy will be the last person to question yung capability ng isang babae. After all, President Cory Aquino was our first Philippine woman president na rarity talaga sa buong mundo. Diba? The United States has never had a woman president, at ngayon na lang dumadami yung mga prime ministers, alimbawa sa Europe, sa Western Europe, no? Pero otherwise, talagang rarity yan. So he will be the last person to think that you will not be capable of doing this as because babae ka. But he was looking at it from the perspective of the other side, which is an Islamic group na, kumbaga, more conservative sa usapin ng kababaihan, ng gender. So yun may initial hesitation on that count. At sinabi niya yan, I'm not against women, but yung kabila ba, handa. At ang in the end, of course, kinonvince din siya ni Presidential Peace Advisor Teresita Quintos Deles na kaya ito, kaya ito. Kasi matagal na nga naman na ating itong pinag-aaralan at saka sinusubaybayan. And he took the risk.
Yeah, well, of course, the MILF was the other party in the negotiation. Pero siyempre, on the government side, you're also dealing with a very macho institution, yung military, no? Armed Forces of the Philippines. In previous eras, it would be military people. Of course, men were the ones dominating the peace process. Pero did you hear, was there pushback naman from the government side? Some military generals, you know?
Ang maganda talaga sa Armed Forces of the Philippines natin, mas na-ingrain talaga yung professionalism at saka civilian supremacy. Relatively speaking, sa buong mundo. At makikita natin na nakadaan na sila sa dalawang babaeng presidente. Si Cory Aquino, Gloria Arroyo, served as the commander-in-chief, di ba, during their tenure as president. So nakita natin yung full respect. And the AFP also acknowledge, has already seen the benefit of the ceasefire. Ang problema namin yung police. Yung police talaga. Kasi alam natin mas mahirap pang ayusin ito, fix the police institution. Lalo na coming from the previous president na talagang nabigyan sila ng impunity and all. Napakahirap na i-professionalize yan ulit eh. Ibalik on track na may respect for the rule of law at saka yung basic efficiency, di ba? So yung police was really more of a problem because they felt nakukompromise yung kanilang operations, yung tinatawag na criminal interdiction, dahil sa ceasefire. Yung ceasefire kasi required at the last minute warning the MILF na huwag kayong kikilos at hindi kayo yung tinatarget dyan. Ang tinatarget dyan ay yung itong, maski hindi sasabihin kung sino, no? Basta sabihin lang, may pupunta dyan, mga polis, huwag kayong kikilos, huwag kayong maabala. Huwag kayong maabala. Nung binypass yun, many times, hindi lang Mama Sapano, but Mama Sapano was the big one kasi ang dami talagang polis na namatay. Every time binabypass yan, they get into trouble. At ang mag-extricate sa kanila ay yung ceasefire committee natin, which is made up of the Armed Forces of the Philippines at pati na yung counterpart nila sa MILF. Kasi pag nagputukan na yan, lahat yan, yung pintakasi na tinatawag, maglalabasan lahat yan basta may narinig na putukan, titignan, ano ba ito? Tapos pag may nakita dyan na medyo naka-uniforme, ito yung kalaban. Diba? Hindi lamang MILF, pati yung ibang grupo, pati yung mga private armed groups dyan ng mga politician. So, yun yung naging problema natin. Kaya nga marami kaming ginawang sessions sa police eh. Pero ang hirap talaga eh, ipaliwanag sa kanila. Magpaliwanag na ganito yung protocol. Tapos dahil may mga direct experience sila ng, sabihin mo na, violence. Ang lakas talaga ng bias nila against Muslims. may isang forum, dandaan ko na mini-meeting namin yung iba't ibang commands ng police sa Mindanao para explain ano ba tong peace process na to. May tumayo talaga na kinikwento niya yung buong history ng violence na dinanas ng pamilya nila laban doon sa mga indigenous communities doon, na mga Muslim. So, ganun talaga katindi. Ang nasabi ko lang talaga noon eh, sa kwento mong yan, meron din kwento yung kabila ng violence na naranasan naman nila. So, saan tayo pupunta? Magpapataya na lang ba lagi? O ihinto na natin to? Baguhin natin yung kwento. Yung kwento ng bawat isa. Pero at that time, tingko, hindi ko siya talaga na-convince eh, na bakit kailangan ihinto natin tong prejudice, yung cycle of violence na nangyari. On the ground level, hindi nga necessarily between just the two armed groups, yung police at saka yung government, but within communities. And sa ngayon, maski na hindi na nga nagbabakbakan, nakita natin marami pa rin sources of violence sa loob ng lipunan, no? Yung tinatawag natin horizontal violence within society itself. Kasi talagang hindi mo matitigil yung competition over lupa, over elections, etc. Pero ang end all goal natin dyan ay hindi idaan sa baril ang pag-resolve ng conflict. Idaan sa tamang proseso.
So, dito sa mga proseso na to and all, you know, your interactions with these armed groups, was being a woman ever an advantage?
Were
there advantages to being a woman?
MILF? You mean armed groups na MILF?
Oh, well, let's start with the MILF.
Kuwama police. I think naman kasi makikita kung sa police, limbawa, yung session na yun, yung kinento ko, no? Dinadaan natin sa reason, sa rationality, di ba? Kasi gusto natin lumawak yung pag-iisip nila kung paano talaga titignan itong mahabang problema natin sa ating mga kapatid na Moro. Pero nung bandang huli, yung kasama kong general na kabahagi ng aming team, ang sinabi lang niya sa kanila, ito yung order ng presidente, sumunod kayo. Which is basically, totoo rin. So, kailangan mo talaga yung ganong combination din eh. Idaan mo sa rason, idaan mo sa ano ba yung utos ng presidente. And you needed a general to do that. In this case, a retired general, but si General Leo Ferrer, Crescente Ferrer, no relation, no? But he was the one who had to say, to tell them directly, ito yung policy ng government, primacy of the peace policy, you have to follow orders. So, kailangan may ganun combination. Pero for me kasi, kailangan mo pareho. Hindi lang hindi mo ipapaliwanag bakit o hindi mo sa kanila ipapaintindi. Pero yung combination nun, kasi meron ka rin immediate aim. So, kailangan mo talagang impose sa kanila primacy of the peace policy ito.
So, I want to ask you now about the status of women in the Philippines. Nabanggit mo nga na, you know, we've had more than one woman president. We have a woman vice president. The runner-up in the last presidential election was a woman. I mean, 15 million voted for Leni Robredo. So, and if you look at global rankings, lagi tayong mataas pagdating doon sa mga, you know, global gender gap, etc., and other indexes, no? But there are also a lot of remaining gender issues, no? So, do you find any contradiction here? Between itong yung ranking halimbawa ng Pilipinas pagdating dito sa mga gender equality, gender gap indexes, and these constant reminders na, you know, there are a lot of challenges facing women in the Philippines.
Siyempre, andyan pa rin yan eh, kasi may cultural biases ka. Nagbabago-bago yan sa iba-ibang mga subcultures natin, sa indigenous communities natin. Talaga, halimbawa, in tribal of elders, mostly, at talagang basically, lalaki ang mga yan, di ba? Dalawang categories yan. Seniority, kaya nga yung mga kabataan natin, the youth are also speaking up and asserting their voices. Tapos yung pangalawang category, yung gender, dahil nga traditionally, lalaki yan. But marami nang nag-break ng glass ceilings na yan eh. Unti-unti na eh, nag-open up na yung consciousness din ng mga tao. And only because women have proven that they can do the job. Yun na problema dito eh. Halimbawa, hindi namin na-sign yung peace agreement nung ako yung chair. Anong sasabihin nila? Eh, babae kasi. Pero kung lalaki yun, and lalaki naman in the past, bakit hindi rin nila nagawa? Well, magsasabi na lalaki kasi yan. Diba? So, ganun yung ano, social bias dyan. So, ang idea dito is really to show, to prove. And we are on evidence. Globally, evidence tayo sa ganitong global campaign for women to take on a bigger role in peace and security. And not just to talk about women's issues. Certainly, to put the women's issues into the picture, but to talk about really hard stuff. Ano ba yung sources ng conflict na to? Bakit dito? Tapos ano yung pwedeng mangyari dyan? Even yung knowledge and the expertise to go through all the complications of the issue. The more women are able to precisely show the world that women can do it, then it becomes less and less of a problem kasi nanonormalize yung role ng ganitong kababaihan at hindi na lang yung mga ine-expect na ma-appoint dyan sa kung saan sa mga delikadong mga missions. Halimbawa, ay ang unang mahahanap ay mga kalalakihan. Dami na rin yung mga babae na nandyan sa listahan. Pero syempre kailangan mo ng leadership na may ganun klaseng consciousness. Eh. Kasi pag hindi talaga naghahanap ng capable women, usually ang makikita nila sa roster, yung mga lalaki muna, tapos ito yung mga lalaki na itong kakilala nila, so sila yung i-appoint nila, di ba? So, ganun din sa lahat ng level, sa national as well as international level. But we've made a point, I think that's the most important thing. Kaya nga, medyo nare-recognize yung process natin internationally because we made that point that it can be done.
So speaking of glass ceilings, no, obviously you broke one as the first, you know, female chief peace negotiator, and recently I also interviewed the first woman spokesperson of the armed forces, si Colonel Francel Padilla. What are the next glass ceilings that you think should be broken? What glass ceiling needs urgent breaking at this point?
First, I'll qualify. Meron Vietnamese woman who was part of the Paris Peace Agreement that was signed to end the Vietnam War, and she represented the Communist Party of South Vietnam at the time, di ba? Kasi eventually nag-end yung conflict. US ang kausap nila dito. Yung US delegation panay lalaki, pero in Vietnam may isang babae who eventually became their one of their foreign ministers. So pioneering tayo talaga sa Southeast Asia in that sense. Kaya lang syempre iba yung format noon, iba yung format, marami sila. And in the end, Kissinger and the Prime Minister of North Vietnam, Le Duc at the time, ended up getting the Nobel Peace Prize, which Le Duc actually refused to take. Marami kasing ironies yung Vietnam War, di ba? Na tinatawag ng Vietnam-American War. So in any case, we should not forget that way back in 1978, may isang babae dun sa set of negotiators that represented North and South Vietnam vis-a-vis the United States. And the U.S. delegation was all male. All male. So yun yung irony sa U.S. Sabihin mo na mataas yung gender equity, but when it comes to top positions, talagang male-dominated. They've never had a female president. So, ganun din sa atin. I think, halimbawa sa Bangsamoro ngayon, one of the good things that's emerging is that there are a lot of really capable, fairly young women who have taken on significant positions within the transition government. It's a very, very slow process of really bringing in the women. But hindi pa natin alam how it will go and how they're coping with it, no? Alam natin na just like any women, marami silang na-encounter na, sabi mo na, mga soft harassment, hindi naman talaga outright harassment just because babae sila. If I may share an anecdote, sasabihin sa isang MP na babae, itatawag sa kanya, I miss beautiful, at ang sinabi niya ay, can you strike that off the record, referring to me as miss beautiful, no? So, yung ganun mga kwento, lumalabas pa rin yan. Hindi ko na lang sabihin ano, because we don't really want to offend anyone. But it's still there. It's still there in the culture. Tapos, ngayon, nakita natin yung electoral code nila. Maganda talaga yung lumabas na Bangsamoro electoral code. Bagamat may challenge sa Supreme Court. Pero dito sa electoral code na to, meron silang provision against political dynasty, which we never had, which we still have to do in any of our national legislation. Tapos meron silang quota for women sa regional political parties na isa-set up nila. Ang hindi lamang klaro kung paano nila i-allocate yung sequencing ng seats, no? Kasi PR system yan sa proportional representation. Kung sino yung unang nasa listahan, di ba? So bagamat may quota ka, dapat sana mas klaro in the sense na alternate, ganyan, at hindi nasa bottom list ng party list nila yung kababaihan. But it's there. It's there. It's in the provision. Kung ano yung hirap na mag-introduce ng gender provisions na naranasan namin during the initial years of the negotiation, it has increasingly become a more open atmosphere to bring in these kinds of items in the legislation. But it doesn't mean ulit na yung implementation will be perfect. And that's why it's very good that a lot of women are also very active in civil society within the bureaucracy of the Bangsamoro government as well as in the parliament.
You know, nagulat ako, no, when I first started moving around Mindanao many years ago and until now, no, I still travel to Mindanao quite a bit. Kasi of course, we all know and hear about the biases against women in Islam, especially in, you know, predominantly many Muslim countries. Pero when you go to like Moro places, Moro communities in Mindanao, marami kang makakausap, makikilalang women leaders, no, na Moro, na from barangay captain to governor. Minsan may governor na babae, no, na mukhang nirespeto naman ng lalaki. Obviously, maraming lalaking bumoto sa kanila, kaya sila naging public officials, no? So, is this more of a Filipino cultural thing na despite teachings, some religious teachings about the role of women, maraming babae sa Pilipinas na Muslim, they aspire for leadership positions, they lead communities, they lead families.
Well, pagdating naman yung voting behavior ng Pilipino, they don't really choose based on gender. Ang dynasties pa rin ang pinag-uusapan natin dito pagdating sa name recall, dynasties, pera, yan ang nagde-determine ng voting behavior. So, in fact, according to one study, pero medyo matagal na rito, kaya dumami yung babae sa national level, it's because of the term limits. So, kung hindi na pwede yung asawa na lalaki, yung husband, di yung babae naman to keep the power within the family. Kung walang matinong anak na lalaki, di yung babae. Yung babae. So, you can see that the term limits, in a way, has helped put women in elective positions. But if you look at the voting pattern, hindi naman talaga by gender ang determination natin. But let me just say, hindi naman sa Islam lang yan. Grabe, makapunta ka sa Eastern Europe, which is Christian communities, Orthodox Church. Maski sa Latin America, na Catholics, yung kultura, andyan ang influence ng religion, bagamat hindi lang naman religion ang nag-influence sa political culture or generally culture ng tao, ng isang society. Ang lakas talaga ng conservatism pa din pagdating sa gender. So we often think na Islam yung pinaka-conservative na siguro Hindu societies, no? Kasi mahirap talaga i-brand kung based on religion lang. Baka theological debate yan kung ano talaga yung sinasabi nung libro o nung prophet nila. But it's a global thing. Na-emphasize lang talaga sa Islam because you have rather extreme cases dun sa mga ilang countries na nag-impose ng certain way of dressing and certain prohibitions on women. Alam natin, halimbawa, yung Taliban, for example. But this is an ongoing thing na talagang which will have to be advocated by women as well as men who think differently. No? Mga feminist men, at madami-dami din yan eh. And their voices are very, very important in advocating this. Kasi pag sa babae lang nila naririnig, baka hindi sila masyadong maniwala. Mas maganda kung mga kapwa nila lalaki nagsasalita din.
Okay, we're gonna let you go now. Thank you, Professor Ferrer, for sharing your memories and important perspectives. Yeah, yes. Thank you for your service to the country. No, Miriam Coronel Ferrer Ramon Magsaysay Awardee and the first female chief negotiator in the world to sign a final peace accord with a rebel group, the MILF. So, mabuhay kayo. Maraming salamat, Professor Miriam Coronel Ferrer. Thank you so much for spending the time with us.
All the best and more power.
Thanks for listening, Podmates. Download this episode so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Stay safe, Podmates.